for the Fenton Perspective with Lori and Fenton.
Welcome, everyone, to the Fenton Perspective here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I hope you guys are all doing well. We have a jam-packed show today. I have two guests, and I know this guest is a host here at Revolution Radio, but I'm almost positive my crowd that listens to my show doesn't listen to Scott's show, and it's not my fault. They're just into UFOs and aliens. I don't know. I've got to get him woke up. So here's what I'm doing. I'm bringing Scott on today for the first hour of the show to get woke up instead of being a woke person. You guys are getting woken up. So here we are. I'm not even going to introduce him. I'm going to let Scott tell you all about what he's done in the past in a quick synopsis. And then we're going to go, you know, what they, as they say, pedal to the metal until 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. And I hope you guys are ready for this because Scott's going to break down all the crazy going on in our government right now, what happened to him with Michael Flynn and that woman lawyer for Trump and, you know, the whole nine yards, and tell you guys what's really happening right now that you need to pay attention to. Scott, it's so wonderful to have you on the show today. How are you doing?
Well, Lorianne, it's wonderful to be with you. I'm so glad. I'm looking forward to our good dynamic discussion.
Well, yeah, but I'm going to keep my ears peeled and I'm listening because I know you went through all kinds of meetings with Trump and well, maybe not with Trump personally, but I know you were in on the what I call the home team when the whole – was this before the election fraud or was this – when was – anyhow, start with your quick background and then tell us what all happened in D.C.
Yeah, it's a Lord of the Rings saga.
Act one, it act really two, is.
Just as a quick briefing background for those, you know, who didn't know me, I had been part of the Bush administration and part of Heritage Foundation and worked in Booz Allen Hamilton with Ed Snowden. I had been given a direct commission in the military to go into the Army as psychological warfare, and I worked at the State Department counterterrorism. I worked at SOCOM and Special Operations Command, and I had a top secret SCI clearance. Never talk about anything classified, of course, but I was right on the front lines in the State Department and U.S. Central Command about the terrorist financing that was being facilitated by the Clinton Foundation, by the Clinton State Department, by the Department of Justice, Eric Holder, Lanny Breuer, by a law firm that these people had worked for, Lanny Breuer and Eric Holder, called Covington and Burling, and a lot of the Sunni Wahhabi Gulf Emirate nations, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Morocco, Mauritania, all of these, Sunni Muslim nations that had been utilized in our war on terror as pawns. I saw a lot of the money that they were contributing to the Clinton Foundation through Covington and Burling, through Union Bank of Switzerland. They, of course, expected Hillary Clinton to win, but by divine intervention, Donald Trump won instead. But I wrote all of my report called Shell Game, which detailed, and people can see it by going to shellgamewhistleblower.com, just like it sounds, shellgamewhistleblower.com. And the book was a military whistleblowing report to Congress that outlined all of the Union Bank of Switzerland, its connection to all of these foundations, its connection to the deep state, its connection to the Obama-Biden administration. And it recommended, you know, and demanded, in fact, immediate action. Well, it was covered up and I was imprisoned by the Obama administration with the excuse that I'd filled out a housing form improperly or wrongly, or filled out the wrong line, or whatever their trumped up charges were at the time. But their goal was to shut me up, and it didn't quite work because immediately, when I fought to get out of prison, I immediately went on RT, Russia Today. I went on a variety of other news channels and told the story. I'm convinced that's where they began this Russian propaganda, Russian, you know, disinformation claim, because there were so many of us that were coming out about the deep state, but we weren't getting traction on American media, not even Fox News.
Scott, I got to ask. Now, you're talking about the Russia hoax, that whole Steele dossier thing. Do you think that was because of what happened to you?
I think they couldn't help but see my face on Peter Lavelle's crosstalk in 2015
right.
on Russia Today. That exploded like a flare in the sky. Here's an army officer getting on Russia Today, getting on other Middle East news channels and telling the story about how the Clinton Foundation and the Obama-Biden White House were financing terrorism in Ukraine and Libya and Syria and Afghanistan and Iraq and other places using Swiss banks, Union Bank of Switzerland. They couldn't get away from that. So the only
right.
thing they could do is call it Russian propaganda.
And one other quick thing. I'm sorry to keep interrupting you, but this is really important. What people don't understand is you took that report to every sitting congressman and senator, if I remember correctly. Is
that
correct?
Right. That's right.
Now, so that tells us right there, Scott, they're all complicit.
They are. Their names,
okay.
You know what? And honestly, Lorian, too, what they've charged Trump with, or they are going to try and charge Trump with, which is mishandling or burying or concealing records and concealing information, is
right.
what they themselves are guilty of. Because remember,
that's right.
my report was an official military report from a military officer with a top secret SCI clearance that had developed information from human intelligence debriefing and WikiLeaks cables and other intel. Nothing had been classified, so they couldn't bury it. So what I sent to the members of Congress, they hid it, they buried it, they ignored it. That was an officially filed report. So that is an official government document from a military officer pertaining to the national security of the United States, and specifically acts of treason and sedition that were being done, orchestrated by Hillary Clinton, by the Clinton State Department, by the Obama administration, by Covington and Burling. All of these parties I had labeled in an exhaustive whistleblowing report. That was a whistleblowing report. It wasn't my meditation while sitting on the toilet seat. It wasn't just some, you know, random jotting down my thoughts by the swimming pool. It was a military whistleblowing report from an officer that had been thrown into prison and was filing this as a whistleblowing report, as an officer that was illegally being imprisoned by the Obama administration to bury this intel. So
that's
essentially
right.
I was saying this president and Hillary Clinton and Eric Holder and Lanny Brewer and Union Bank of Switzerland and the Department of Justice and the law firm Covington and Burling and a variety of other players are
and the
guilty
State Department
of,
had to be involved.
Yes.
Yeah.
All contributing to sedition and terrorism by financing it and getting American soldiers killed. And they buried
it. CIA and FBI had to be complicit, too.
Absolutely. So I laugh when I see them having the gall, the audacity to try and charge Trump, because I can turn around and charge them with the very same thing, because my report was submitted to them in 2011. 2011,
right.
2012, 2013. I was constantly filing reports to the Armed Services Committee, to the Intelligence Committee, to Senator Dianne Feinstein, to Senator Bill Nelson, to Senator Lindsey Graham, to Senator Jeff Sessions, to Congressman Mike Pompeo, all of these clowns that insidiously
yes.
inserted themselves around Donald Trump, they're on the mark. And you can see their names. You see the letter I sent to them in a book of exhibits. If you go to my website, there's a book called Exhibits, with a national capital
Ooh,
in the background.
I haven't seen that yet. Oh my God, that's what I'm doing tonight.
That's a copy of every letter that went out to these members of Congress, and in black and white. It's a proof of their indictment of, I would say, treason. They intentionally
stuck right.
their head in the ground, and American soldiers are dead because of it. And we've let this Pandora's box, you know, continuously, you know, explode.
You know, Scott, why you're my favorite guy on the planet right now is because you sat down with Fetzer and made all those phone calls to all the Senate offices. I'll never forget that. That was about, what, 3 or 4 years ago?
Yeah.
You guys, yep, I called dialing for dollars, man. It was hysterical. Yep. And these people were clueless. All the people that answered the phone had no idea what you were talking about, and that just scared the bejesus out of me.
Yep. I had a long conversation with the investigator for Senator Ron Johnson's office.
Oh, that's right.
You can't turn that off, kid. When I connect with Ron Johnson's office and I talk with you for 2 hours about what they did, Ron Johnson's on the hook. You better act on it. You better have a hearing. You better have me testify. You better make it serious. And if you think you're not, I've got another thing coming for you, pal, because this is not going away. I will hold everybody accountable, Republican and Democrat alike. I won't spare either of them, because this is about our nation. This is about our kids in military uniform that were betrayed by these actors. Now, fast forward to this, because of my extensive knowledge of Union Bank of Switzerland and its role in terrorism, and because I had also met Joe Flynn, Michael Flynn's brother. And Sidney Powell,
right,
at a conference, I went up to Sidney Powell, I went up to Joe Flynn and said, hey, Michael Flynn is being represented by this law firm called Covington & Burling. I exposed them as financing terrorism in my book, Shell Game. Get a copy to Mike Flynn. Make sure he knows about this law firm, because they can't represent him. Well, you know what they did, Lorianne? They took it back to Mike Flynn. Him, as dumb as a bag of rocks, kind of said, duh, I didn't know that. What did he do? He fired Covington and Burling, and he hired Sidney Powell. Sidney Powell then called me later asking for evidence. I gave it to her. She filed a motion in court asking for everything relating to Covington and Burling and the Department of Justice be exposed, and they dropped all charges because of it, because they didn't want it seen, they didn't want it known that they had been incestuously working against General Flynn from the beginning. And my expectation,
right,
was they were constantly telling him to shut up, take a plea deal, and then what they were going to do is they were going to throw him in jail and kill him in jail. Mike Flynn would be a dead man if this
that
hadn't
is correct.
Got.
That is correct. So, Scott, you saved his life. And for that, what did you get in return?
Nothing. Absolutely zero. Nothing. I got from Sidney Powell the claim, I know Scott Bennett, but we don't work together. Oh, really? Because, see, they took on this whole, now they're popular, now they have a job, now they're this, now they're, you know, Flynn went to, he got out, but then he's been tromping around the country with this, I don't know what it is, some America Clay Clark First organization. So is Sidney Powell. But,
well,
you know,
and I got to interject something here. When Clay started his very first event, I calculated he made over $1 million in profit. He kept claiming security cost a fortune and this and that. Well, trust me, I've been in the conference business for 40 years. I know exactly how much things cost. And I talked to several people that I know that do go and spend time at his events once in a while. Judy Mikovits is one of them. And these are very good friends of mine. And they're not real. I mean, they do it because, you know, every once in a while it's okay, you know, kind of thing. But honestly, I felt from the very beginning that this was a big sham, a big show. And nobody was coming up with answers, Scott. You're the only one I know that has a plan to save our country. Seriously.
Yeah.
You're the
yeah.
only one I know. You and Fetzer and the gang. I mean, it's like you guys could sit down and run this country with your eyes closed and your hands tied behind your back if someone would pay attention to you.
Yeah. Well, I had been asked by Clay Clark to come out and speak at his first event, and I had agreed to. And then he called me back and said, I can't have you come out because four people have said they won't come and show up and they won't speak if you come. And I said, really? I thought we were conservatives. I didn't think we canceled people out. And what would people be afraid of if I came up on stage and spoke? Oh,
yeah.
Could it be Sidney Powell and Pat Byrne and Michael Flynn afraid that I would be shattering their illusion of somehow being American heroes and Mike Flynn being released because of miraculous legal brilliance by Sidney? Or could it be Pat Byrne was given my materials when I went and debriefed him and Joe Flynn in on November 20th or November 2020 after the election.
Right.
And I gave them the outline that the AFL-CIO had and the plan they had for a January 6th event. I had the AFL-CIO documents,
wait, I didn't know you had, the AFL-CIO, that's a, I mean, that's a, like, what is it, the Steelworkers or the, is that?
It's AFL-CIO, I can't remember the acronym right off my top of my head, but I had, I won't tell who I got it from, but I, let's just say I had people inside the organization at the highest levels who got it to me.
We're talking about a labor union though, right?
Yes, but the workers are good guys, the blue collar guys are good. It's the top guys like Trumka, who's since died, he's passed away, or he's been killed, who knows. But the top leadership of AFL-CIO in Washington, D.C. are the scum of humanity. They are the left-wing communists with the Black Lives Matter on their building and, you know, advancing that whole Antifa BLM nonsense. That was AFL-CIO. And they had a document that I had that was like a PowerPoint presentation that just went out to a few of their top officers that outlined what they would be doing between September and February of 2020-2021. And I gave Pat Byrne and Joe Flynn a briefing on this. Sidney Powell got a briefing on it. Mike Flynn got a copy of it. I said, you need to get this to the president because this document indicates they're going to be coordinating with the senior executive service and other government employees to shut down Washington and to engage in all sorts of disruptive operations. And the president needs to recognize it. He needs to counteract it. He needs to define them as domestic terrorists. This was in November of 2020, a full 2 months before.
I didn't even know. Now, what you're telling me, and I'm going to equate this to the JFK assassination for 1 second. This is like the Murchison party the night before JFK was killed. This is where the guys all planned. They didn't plan it, but it had been planned by all these guys, and they all got together and said, this is what's going to happen tomorrow. They were like the clearinghouse people. So you're telling me the AFL-CIO organization itself was the place where this was all, this whole thing was planned out for January 6th.
Was one of the key players, if not the key player for January 6th. And the other guys that were with me in Washington will confirm exactly what I said. Those being Stephen Pidgeon, the attorney who was with me, and Patrick Berge, who is an Army PSYOP technical guy who was in Shadowgate.
Right.
Two of us, and Patrick would be great on your show too, but he'll confirm this, Lorian, because he was at the table with me. Him and myself and Steven and a few other people were giving briefings about the intel and what we were perceiving as coming, what was happening, what needed to be done by the president. And that was given to Pat Byrne and Joe Flynn and Sidney Powell. And some weird things started happening around Pat Byrne. And there's a whole other chapter that's now opening on this that Pat Berge and I have been talking about, that they seem to have not given the president a lot of this key information, including an executive order that we gave to President Trump saying, do not force any American to get the shot. The president needs to stand up and say, no American has to get this shot if they don't want to. That executive order that we wrote was never published, and we don't even know if Trump got it. And the next weird thing that just happened, which here's a key part, Lorian, we suspect that this raid on Mar-a-Lago has a very high probability of being directly linked to a meeting that Pat Byrne, Sidney Powell, and Michael Flynn illegally acquired by going through Peter Navarro's assistant, a guy named Garrett. They entered the White House, they sat down with the president, and they gave him materials, and they gave him a briefing, and he made Sidney Powell a special counsel, and no doubt telling him, well, you need to take all this action and all this. Didn't mention probably some of this other information for whatever strange reason, but they went in and met with him, and then they left, and our suspicion is that Pat Byrne and Pat Cipollone, the attorney for the president, has testified to the January 6th committee about that meeting, about documents that they gave to the president that he then took with him to Mar-a-Lago And those documents, they're going to try and say, link the president to trying to overthrow the election and overthrow Biden, and Sidney Powell was used for this. And it fits because they also wrote a letter saying that a story in Politico detailed how President Trump would tear up records and throw them in the toilet. That was used as a precedent by the Department of Justice and the FBI. That story, which means it's right. A plant, which means the CIA are involved. They set up the president. They had a fake story about him tearing up papers. They used that as an excuse to say, hey, we saw a story about him tearing up papers. We think he's doing the same thing to documents down in Mar-a-Lago. And they invented this whole nonsense about how he can't have certain documents and blah, 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 blah. All wrong. He is the president.
It's all bullshit. He can have anything he wants.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. And the skiff, it's not a storage room. It's not a broom closet.
Oh, people are so freaking dumb. I swear to God, I tell them, don't you understand? This is it's a vault. It's a freaking vault. They don't want that stuff out. Every president has had a skiff at their residence. They go build the damn thing if they have to.
That's right. That's what they do. They build it. They go down and build a Fort Knox.
Yeah, exactly. I don't understand why people are so I can't go
well,
here today.
You know,
I get
the
so
thing
angry.
Is the Democrats, these Democrat leftists, James Comey, Andrew McCabe, bastards, are very good at two-dimensional government operations. They look at what they've done. They've accused Trump of doing the very same thing that Hillary Clinton actually did. Hillary Clinton actually did all this.
Yes.
So they're accusing Trump of something that Hillary Clinton did 100 times worse for personal gain, for manipulation, for personal enrichment, for the Clinton Foundation enrichment to lure Bill Clinton, of course, with little girls on Epstein's child pedophilia airline and all sorts of other stuff that they actually were doing. Now they're trying to label Trump as, he wasn't supposed to have these documents, and he had them in the wrong place at the wrong time, and he wasn't supposed to. No, all of that is false, because you know why? They were going into his facility to grab everything they could in the hopes that they could find something. And then they could come back and say, hey, Mr. Trump, we've got a picture of you here with a little boy in the nude. We've got a check here from President Putin himself. You know, whatever it is, they were hoping that they could go in and find something that would take him out of the game permanently. And they haven't been able to. They won't be able to. But the only thing they could do is if Pat Byrne has actually betrayed the president, either by stupidity or by conscious effort, because Pat Byrne has always been pushing the Michael Flynn for president story. And you know what? Mike Flynn, even though I saved his ass and I saved his life, I still wouldn't want him to be president because of the deep state dirty history that he has working in the whole military apparatus after 9/11.
Correct.
Participation of Libya and Syria.
Yes, I was just gonna bring up Libya. I thought he was part of that. I'm not sure though. Do you have the goods on him on that?
Well, I know for a fact he was given our terrorist financing report along with James Mattis in August 1st, 2012, and that's where he got the intelligence that he wrote into his memo of how Saudi Arabia and Qatar were financing ISIS. We had given him that information. We had developed the 19,000 bank accounts and people like Abdullah Aziz and others. Abdullah Aziz was actually linked to Rudy Giuliani.
That's right. Yeah. You know, you changed my whole life at one point about 4 or 5 years ago because I started looking into what you had said. I read the book. I underlined, you know, who's connected with who. And then I realized they're all scamming us, all of them. And poor Trump, he's surrounded by snakes. I mean, it's just simply snakes. And I don't know if and I'm not even sure how aware, you know, if you think about it, Scott, Is Giuliani absolutely aware that he was in bed with these guys, or was it his people around him that got him in bed with these guys?
Well, you know, in all honesty, I mean, I look at Giuliani and I go, well, let's look at 9/11. First of all, 9/11, based on the science and the facts, I don't think any reasonable person walks away saying the government's explanation is true. I think anyone right. who understands the science and architecture and engineers and all the stuff that's been done goes, you know what? The government excuse is false. It's impossible for buildings to fall into their footprint. It's impossible for aluminum planes to go through steel, concrete, reinforced buildings. So
correct.
The whole event was fraudulent. I know the Pentagon was fraudulent, too. And who was in charge or who was associated with that? Rudy Giuliani and McCarrick, the
oh,
police
right.
commissioner. Well, you know, yeah. who was part of the Trump analytics team was McCarrick and Rudy Giuliani. Of course, we know Giuliani was allegedly one of Trump's lawyers. But so you have Rudy Giuliani and McCarrick, who were labeled as partners in crime in this 9/11 scam that they thought was just going to kind of disappear in the big cloud of American patriotism, and America's going to go forth and kick the shit out of everybody in Afghanistan and Iraq and Libya and Syria and Lebanon and then Iran. They thought they were going to get away with this, and they didn't. Mm-hmm. So McCarrick and Giuliani are dirty. I don't care if Giuliani was drunk at the time and didn't know anything about it. It still is under his watch. He was the mayor of New York. McCarrick was the police commissioner. McCarrick went to jail later for accepting bribes from the Israelis when he was
That's
over
right.
in Iraq. So he's
yep.
a dirty traitor, and the Mossad were part of manipulating McCarrick. Why in the hell is he anywhere near Donald Trump and his election analytics? Oh, because they're from
yeah.
New York? I think there's something seriously wrong with that. And whether Trump knows it or not is kind of like, well, I, you know, your motivation doesn't matter to me. It's what the facts are. It's what's happening. It's the actions. So, you know, Trump had Bolton around him. That's a miserable psychopath, Bolton.
Yes.
John Bolton
oh, my
is
God.
The worst. And Mike Pompeo is no better. Neither is Nikki Haley. They've been pushing us to war, pushing us into Ukraine. They stopped Trump from getting us out of Afghanistan. They stopped him from doing a whole host of things. And they, of course, they invented the Russia hoax, the Russia lies and blah, 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 blah. They also, as you know, Lorianne, they were financing biochemical labs in Ukraine. Now, this is something people may not know about, but they can you know, do a little research. I've got a Facebook page, and I put a lot of the articles and a lot of the interviews that I've done
oh,
on this.
Wonderful. Good, good, good. Okay.
The Ukraine biochemical labs were established in 2005. Senator Barack Obama was part of the initial team. So was Senator Dick Lugar. They established biochemical labs in Ukraine. And in 2013, they were told to get rid of them. The Ukrainian government under Yanukovych did not want U.S. biochemical labs doing experimentations in Ukraine. What did
absolutely.
They do? They overthrew Yanukovych. And they put in Poroshenko, and then later came the gay homosexual guy Zelensky, who likes to play the piano with his manly member, and we have a miserable psychopath and a war ever since, because they were launching a genocide against the people of Eastern Russia for 8 years, and they were doing animal to human transmissions and doing all sorts of biochemical weapons that are now directly linked to COVID-19, and there's slides
correct.
Up there. There's evidence. There's a document trail. It's undeniable. This is the big crime against humanity that I think inevitably we're going to have a Nuremberg sort of hearing about against the United States for participating in that. Trump did some real stupid things by sending weapons over to Zelensky and Poroshenko to wage war against the Russians. That's a real stupid thing to do. I thought he was stupid to screw up with the U.S. JCPOA in Iran, too, because he could have had a North Korean moment with Iran. He could have settled that. The Iranians were not looking for a fight. I was over there with Phil Giraldi and a bunch of CIA State Department
guys. Yeah, what happened? When you guys were there, who were you dealing with? How did that play out for you?
Well, we met with some of the top people, and we were seriously, I was trying to make opportunities and inroads for President Trump to have a wonderful diplomatic victory by reopening Iran and the United States and our relations and just improving the entire conversation. Well, that was blocked by Steve Mnuchin and Sigal Mandelker, which are neocon Jewish Zionist elements in the Department of Treasury, and they were in charge of sanctions. So what did they do? They told Trump, Iran is the enemy of the United States and all this other stuff, so you have to pull out, you have to sanction these people. And, he did, and I think it was a major mistake on his part. I think he's been given nothing but bad advice by liars and opportunists his entire career. Yes. In the White House, it hasn't benefited him. I mean, if he had people like me, Phil Giraldi, Mike Maloof, a variety of other, Scott Ritter, who I know and I've interviewed a lot, if he had,
I like these, Scott.
Yeah, well, no one knows Ukraine better than Scott Ritter, and no one knows the history of Russia better than him. He's been in the game since 1989.
Yeah,
and he's exactly right on this stuff. So here's what's coming down the pike, Lorian, is they're probably going to set off the nuclear event in Zaryastopol. They're probably going to blow that up and blame the Russians. You're going to see a massive distraction operation to justify the American Democrat confiscation of power in America. I think you're going to have the suspension of the elections. I do not think the Democrats are going to allow a free and fair election in November, because they realize that they will not only be investigated, they'll be prosecuted and in some ways possibly executed for treason for what they've done since 2016. This isn't, a one-act show. This is something
right.
that goes from 2016 to now. And I seriously think the Democrats and these operatives are going to either assassinate Biden and blame it on a Trump supporter, and then use that to say the elections are suspended under martial law. The same thing that people were calling for Trump to do in the Insurrection Act. You remember they were saying the president
yes.
needs to declare the Insurrection Act. I predict the Democrats are going to pull a false flag, assassinate Biden, or do something major where they then declare the Insurrection Act. Here's the other thing. I think they're going to put Gavin Newsom into the vice president spot and then move him directly into the president spot in a Manchurian candidate sort of maneuver. These are all predictions,
Jesus.
But I've been pretty much right on the numbers. If I was in Las
Scott,
Vegas,
I would be Justin praying Hoffman. That you are wrong and wrong and wrong. I'm just going to keep praying because I can't live in a country like that. And there's nowhere to go anymore. We can't go anywhere. Australia is under lockdown. Everything is under lockdown.
Yeah.
Germany has now passed laws recently that you have to wear a mask. You got to be vaccinated. You can't go out of your house. I mean, what the hell's going on here? This is insanity.
Well, that's the other thing, isn't it? The COVID-19 vaccine has killed more people and decimated our world more than anything else. Yes, it's being directly linked to the Fauci, Merck, Moderna, Pfizer, Battelle, the military-industrial complex, big pharma organizations that transferred this material from Ukraine to Fort Detrick, to Chapel Hill, to Wuhan. All of this, the chain of custody of this brings it right back to the U.S. under Biden, Metabiota, right? Now you enter Hunter
yes.
Biden, you enter Joe Biden, you enter all this corruption. And you see why they were so passionate about trying to impeach Trump about, Ukraine. It's because they were digging and they were finding there was a lot of stuff there. They've tried to bury it. They're not going to get away with that. But I think you're going to see Europe is going to come apart of the seams because they're going to freeze this winter. They're going to starve this winter. The euro is already losing parity to the dollar. I think
yes.
it's going to come apart at the seams, and you're going to have a mass internal civil war rising up in Europe, unlike ever before. And you could have people like Macron hung by the neck like Mussolini, and the same thing with Boris Johnson, and the same thing with his German Schultz, you know, and these other fools who are desperately trying to make Russia look like an enemy when in fact, and in actuality, Russia has been the only moral nation, because not only did it come and stop a genocide against its people, but here's a key point as a conservative, Lorian. I agree yes. with Russia and Putin when they say wokeism is a crime against humanity. I totally agree.
It absolutely is.
I don't want hormone blockers given to my 3-year-old. I don't want drag queens gyrating up and down poles outside a library reading hour to kindergartners. I don't want transgender studies being fed to my kids during their ABCs. I don't want some pervert rainbow flag fluttering under the red, white, and blue. This is a sick, perverted, evil society that advances this lesbian sodomite agenda. And we cannot survive as a nation if we are going to allow that kind of brainwashing. I mean, it is certainly despised of God. And I wouldn't be surprised if this nation is about to enter a dark age where you're going to have the breakup of the republic, the assembly of conservative states like Florida, Texas, South Dakota, you know, the Midwest, saying, right. We're done with Biden. We're done with the FBI. We're done with the ATF. Guess what, federal law enforcement? You don't have a building anymore. Get the hell out of Oklahoma. Get out of Florida. Get out of Texas. We don't need you. We'll have our own process and such.
Exactly. Well, I don't want to change the subject too much, but what do you think about the whole, I don't know how to phrase this. In Texas right now, they're talking about, what is it, when they break away from the federal government? I can't even remember the word right now.
Secession.
Thank you. Gosh, what's my brain today? Anyhow, and I've heard that Idaho, Tennessee, Arkansas, there's a bunch of other states that are thinking about it too. So in your opinion, what would happen if we started having all the, you know, not all the states, but let's say a third of the states pull out of the federal government's grasp? What do you think would happen at that point?
I think it's being done slowly. I think it's being done one finger being pried open at a time. They're not cutting the hand off like they did in the Lincoln Jefferson Davis split. But right. I think Trump just issued a statement today. He said Trump demands election rerun immediately. You know, Lindsey Graham, who I'm not a big fan of. I think he's a sodomite who's led a lot of the Ukrainian coup d'etat. But
I agree with you on that. Absolutely.
He has said there'd be riots in the street if Trump is charged with crimes. And I believe that. And I believe that's what the deep state and the Democrats want. They seem to think that they would stand a chance against fighting these conservatives who aren't fighting anybody. They're not fighting for anything. They're defending themselves from a overzealous, over-police state, anti-constitution, a police state tyranny. You don't get to go and red flag people and knock on their door and ask them for their guns. You don't get to do that in the United States of America. The Second Amendment is the right to keep and bear arms for a purpose. It's not abrogated or negotiable. And yet the Democrats think they can. I think you're going to see a slow splitting apart of states and peoples and counties, too. From this,
I'm sure you've seen, and I know you have because you just said counties. The Oregon map that they want to become part of Idaho, all the counties in Oregon.
yeah.
I think it's fabulous. I hope they do. You know, it's crazy, and it runs all the way from Idaho to the coast at the southern border.
It is, and remember, Trump won California, and Trump won the majority of the country because
That's right.
You know they. For all of the things you may be critical of him, he had a wonderful perception in the American public's mind. They looked at him and they said, hey, I like the wall. I don't want people coming in across the border illegally.
Don't even get me started.
He wanted to end the wars. And he said that. You know, what he said resonated. Now, what he did is a different matter and different story. But,
well,
you know,
to be honest, like, Scott, I think he really thought he was going to do that. But yeah, like you said, he's surrounded by bad players, bad advice. He did do a few things.
Yeah.
And every time he traveled, I got to tell you, the other countries' leaders respected him. We did yeah. not have this game plan of Biden, you know, pooping his pants at the yeah. at his next meeting or whatever. I mean, people just don't pay. The other leaders just look at him and laugh. I mean,
yeah.
it's sad. It's disgusting. And
yep.
and our government should not be allowing this. And what the hell? Okay, you got to answer this question for me because I still can't figure out the end game on it. What was Nancy Pelosi doing going to China?
Well, yeah, I think she's always been a Chinese communist. She's in their pocket.
Well, yeah.
She's on their side. She's on their payroll. She's you know, her whole family, of course, are corrupt. Her son, Paul Pelosi Jr., was linked to the Metabiota and the Ukraine biochemical labs through the funding of them through Rosemont Fonseca. And so
yep.
was Joe Biden's kid, Hunter Biden. So was John Kerry's kid. So Nancy Pelosi not only had her kid involved with the biochemical labs, but she also has the district where this Metabiota was founded, District 12 in the California district. That's Nancy Pelosi's district. So
that's right.
She's 30. What she was doing in Ukraine, I'm sorry, in China, you know, they're stirring up trouble, trying to trigger a war, trying to trigger a conflict, trying to, you know, perhaps set the precedent for the Chinese to double down their blockade around Taiwan or something worse. I've seen a lot of the suppositions about China invading California. I've heard that from Mike Adams and all these people, but I fall on the side of, no, I don't think so. I don't think the Chinese want to awaken the American sleeping dragon. We haven't quite been destroyed by COVID-19. We don't have enough walking zombies who would allow a Chinese invasion of California. So I don't subscribe to the notion of China is just going to come invade through Canada and Mexico. I just don't see that. We've got enough naval
right.
power, nuclear submarines that would decimate every single one of the ships. And, you know, we have a lot of armed people. What
exactly.
she's doing over there, you know, that's another thing that's still in developing. I do think it was also a distraction operation because their main theater of conflict and civil war has been Ukraine. $54 billion we've sent over there. How many weapons have we sent?
Oh,
over
honey,
there?
You know, most of that money never made it. Well, it made it there, and then it got distributed to
yep.
all the senators involved in the cover up. I mean, it's yep. like it's disgusting, is what it yep. is. And when do you remember when Rand Paul said, "That's fine, we can send all the money we want, but I want accountability for it."
Yeah,
and that went on the record.
Yeah.
So what he did by doing that, and you know this and I know this, is since he put that on the record and they refused to do it, when we do figure out where all that money actually ended up, all those guys are going down for treason.
Yeah. Yeah. You're doing a racketeering operation. You're doing a massive money laundering, you know, a black operation, a criminal activity. You're you know, financing war crimes, really, that, you know, there's a body of evidence that's growing that can be put against these people, again, from 2005 to 2013, 14, 15, they were all, you know, pushing these bio labs and the animal to human transmission. I mean, there's a direct breadcrumb trail that goes right to COVID-19. And what did COVID-19 do? That's the massive psyop to shut down across Britain and Canada and Australia, every church, every business, every school, and terrify people and retard them with masks and then push out this vaccine that is going to decimate the population through the mRNA destroying their ability to procreate. They're infertile. Their hearts are damaged from myocarditis. I mean, you listen to all the doctors and the scientists talk about it. Dr. Martin, Dr. Mikovits, Dr. Tenpenny. They've all said this is a bioweapon. That also doesn't loom well for Trump either. You know, they've and Tucker Carlson had a show last week And it was, I was flabbergasted by it because he was saying the same thing in jest, in sort of a mocking, facetious sort of way. He was saying what I said seriously the Democrats would do, and that is they will blame the COVID-19 situation on Trump. They will hang it around his neck and burn it upon him. You are the one. You're the president at the time. You initiated this. You unlocked the warp speed. You developed the vaccine that has caused, you know, millions and millions of people's deaths. That's his area of responsibility. That was his fault.
That's
whether
right.
Whether he knew it at the time is another matter. But they've got this around his neck. And Trump isn't doing himself any favors when he gets up there and says, "Get the shot. I get the shot. You get the shot too." Everybody boos him, and there's a reason, because they equate the shot to lies and death.
Of course they do. Yeah. What's wrong with him, Scott? Doesn't he see this? I mean, I love him, but at the same time, I just think he's a buffoon on so many levels, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, look, that's where DeSantis is rising up as a alternative. And I don't know if anyone else is going to step in, but Ron DeSantis, I think, is the most popular person in the country after Trump. And honestly, he's more technically proficient at the government operation. He was a governor. He understands interagencies. He's, you know, he understands the mechanism of government, and he was in the Navy. He was, you know, he's got more ribbons on his chest than Trump does. Yes, Trump is a good bombastic, theatrical, dramatic presence. Yeah, that's all good and fine. But, you know, what about government? Now, if it was a Trump DeSantis ticket, I think, you know, it would win. But again, I don't think we're going to have free and fair elections. I don't think the Democrats are going to allow it. I think we're going to have wars and conflicts and false flags triggered in this country and in Europe in the next 3 months.
Whoa, God, that's the scariest thought I've had in a long time. Now, what about why don't they just pull off another, same election fraud that they did last time? Is it because they're not going to get away with it again? Is that what you think?
There's too many, you know, there's too many people that are onto them. I've been working with some people on my level here who've actually been developing technology to guarantee election integrity, that people's votes are counted and are stored and recorded, so that you could actually say at the end of the day how many people, you know, voted for a person or a legislation, and here's their numbers. You know, let's say here's 100,000 people who have all said they voted for this candidate and this legislation. And then the government rolls has, you know, the numbers, and they say, oh, no, it was only 50,000. Well, wait a minute. Now we got another scam situation. You're saying 50,000, Mr. Democrat Secretary of State, but everybody who voted, it comes to 100,000. So now we've got standing for a legal challenge, and everyone can say, nope, sorry, we know that there's 100,000 people, not 50,000. So you and your Dominion voting machines and your Chinese Communist Party and the Democrats and all you other bastards have gone in there and manipulated the algorithms, manipulated the television, manipulated the voting, you know, all that stuff, as we've seen through 2000 mules. All of this shows you're liars and you're a fraud, and we're not going to recognize you or your legislation. We don't give you authority. There's the moment of a civil war split. And it's not really a civil war, but it's more of people having the proof to say, no, we're not voting for you. If Trump had this technology, had these systems, he would never have lost.
Right.
They're not going to get away with it again. But that's why I think the Democrats are evil and sinister and smart enough, because they're of their father, the devil, to say, we're not going to be able to fool the American public again. This FBI raid has confirmed to everybody the hypocrisy and the lies and the desperation. So everyone is now going, you know what? The FBI and the government is no longer seen as Captain America. It is seen as a walking zombie from the Walking Dead series. green, decrepit, diseased, stinking with rottenness.
Well, look at the Whitmer case, and then we also have the there was the raid on Stone. I mean, all of this craziness. It's just like, oh, and they not that the FBI was involved, but Marjorie Taylor Greene just got swatted at her house.
Yes, I saw that.
What the hell? I mean, people can just call up and say, oh, there's a hostage situation at someone's house. Go swat them. I mean, what the hell?
Well,
they know it's Marjorie Taylor Greene's house. I mean, I don't know. I'm confused about all this crazy.
Well, remember that the Whitmer kidnapping case came to be immediately after the judge of the courts declared that her powers were unconstitutional. She didn't have the authority to shut down society. She didn't have the authority to declare people can't go outside.
That's right.
That's why they did this Whitmer. That was FBI, and Tucker did another good expose. He said, look what they did. They took some guy who was living in the basement of a vacuum shop with his little dogs who had no money, and they made him the mastermind of going after Whitmer. And they tried to give him credit cards to buy weapons, and he said no. They tried to get him on board this idea of capturing Whitmer, and he said no. They all said no. But yet the retard American citizenry or the bought off traitors who are jurors found two of them guilty after a hung jury the first time.
How can they even do that? See, that's what just blows my mind is how can you even if the FBI is involved and they're coercing them into doing something, none of them should be charged with anything.
Now, the whole thing needs to be thrown out. And of course, I think it inevitably will be, but that's the real connection is Whitmer's kidnapping was all designed to be a distraction operation so people wouldn't see that everything she thought she could get away with was determined by a court to be unconstitutional. And
right.
Same would have applied to Gavin Newsom. It applied to that piece of garbage governor in New Jersey. All of these Democrats, psychopath tyrants. And their lockdown of society.
And you and I are living in the thick of it, Scott. I don't know how we're doing it, but you and I are like on the front lines here in California. It's a nightmare. People have no clue, especially L.A. County. It's been, oh, God. My friends down there are just, they feel like they're in a prison camp.
It has to. I'm going down to L.A. in a couple weeks to actually speak to a group of Vietnamese people about how these immigrants who've come to America legally, like the Sikhs and the Hindus, the Vietnamese and others, they are the hope in the future of California because they have traditional family values. They believe in marriage between a man and a woman. They raise their children with moral standards. They don't embrace the woke rainbow flag, homosexual hormone blocking agenda that the Democrat, they don't embrace this climate change religion where you have to eat bugs and wear burlap and live in dirt houses and burn twigs for fuel. That's the future of Europe with these fake leaders they have. But the Vietnamese and the Chinese and the Hindus and the Sikhs don't have that. They've just been deceived into voting Democrat. So they're among people in California that need to stand up and vote Republican. And the good Republicans, not the rhinos, but real conservatives that have the same semblance and the same energy as Marjorie Taylor Greene, as Trump had, as DeSantis has. We need a whole crop of ass kickers that aren't about apologizing. They're not about the status quo. They are as mad as hell. They're looking for the rats to break their neck and shake them to death. That's what I want in our political leaders.
Absolutely. Well, the show, this hour's ended and my time with you is almost over. Scott, thank you so much. And the websites again, so all my friends that are here looking for aliens and UFOs can get over there and get their education, okay?
Go to shellgamewhistleblower.com. And
perfect. And my JFK people, too. They'll be over there as well.
Thank you,
Lorraine. Shellgamewhistleblower.com, correct?
That's it. And there's a patreon.com/shellgame that people can see our videos and stuff up on too.
Yeah, it's great. I love it. I'm a Patreon member of Scott's Patreon. So I hope you guys do it too. Okay, Scott, I'm going to let you go and I'm going to try to wrangle my next guest. during the commercial break. And thank you, dear, and I'll talk to you soon.
God bless you. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Interested in the paranormal, murder mystery, real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crip Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio, Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Riff, Ivan, thank you. Welcome to the Crypt.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio, Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps. Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Fenton Perspective here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I'm your host, Lorian Fenton. I hope you guys enjoyed the first hour. I am in the process of I'm trying to get my second hour guest, Chuck Palooka, on the show. Wow, this is so bizarre. He's been trying to get on Skype for an hour and the poor man can't. So I'm trying to dial his cell phone. In the meantime, I just wanted to tell you guys, as you know, we are a listener-supported network, and we always love it when you guys help us out. Let me see if I've got enough numbers here. 2, 3, 4, 6. Okay, I think I got it. Let me do this call and add him to the show, and then we'll see about... unable to add participant. He's unavailable. Okay, you guys, it may end up being me today. I don't know. Oh, I hate this. I just hate this. Connect on your cell. Got another number. Okay, let's see if that works. I don't know what the heck is going on with him. He's showing me some kind of weird screen. It doesn't even look like Skype. I don't know what he's, you are signed in as SS. Oh, maybe that's the problem. Oh, you know what? He's doing that whole cell phone thing. That's what messes everything up. Let's see. Sorry, you guys. I hate doing this to you. Give me 1 second. Let me see if SSCAMAROOS at comcast.net. He's not giving me his. Oh, there he is. Oh, my God. Okay. I think I got it, guys. I might have gotten it. Let me see. I found your Skype. Add me as a contact. Okay, we're getting there. Let's see if it works. All right. So we are a listener supported network, and I really appreciate you guys taking good care of us. You always have. And I'm going to keep this really short today because I'm having so many technical difficulties. What we really need is your help once a month as part of our Patreon group. I'd really appreciate that. $5 a month would be wonderful, and if everybody listening to my voice today could do that, I know we'd never have to ask for another cent again. And we're close to that. It would be really great if everybody listening to my voice could do that. And if you can't, even a one-time donation is greatly appreciated. All you have to do is go to freedomslips.com and go to the donate button, and there are many ways to donate there. And a one-time donation of $20 would be great, $50, $100, whatever you guys got, that would be fantastic. And that would be great. And I thank all of you guys for doing so in the past. Do you see me asking for a connection? Okay, let's see what's going on. Ah, he did it. Okay. I think we're good. All right. So this is Chuck, and he's online, and I'm going to call him. Okay. Can everybody hear me out there? I think I just screwed up by what is going on here? Two participants. Yeah, that's me. Can everybody hear me? I need to know because I just put everybody on hold, I think. And I think I can do this. I think I can actually add Chuck. Not on this call. Okay, share a link. I want to add people. I want to add... why can't I find him now? This is like insanity. I'm telling you guys, I'm so sorry. Let's see what we got. Okay, don't call me calling you back. Okay, there we go. All right, now I've got his. I'm going to add him to my favorites. That way he'll be right up there, and I should be able to add him to the call. All right, you guys, I'm so sorry about this. I've got to get back into this screen. I've got to add participants, share this link, add. Okay, why can't I see him? That's the part that's bugging me. Let's see what happens. You know, I thought I just added him. Oh, they're suggesting people. Okay, that's not working. Let's see if he's under his name. I think he's under his live dot whatever. This is just so depressing. Let's go to live. Let's see if it's under live. I hate Skype, you guys. I really hate it. It just, it's not one of those things you can just do, you know? It's really irritating. Okay, search. Why am I searching for him? Live, let's try that. Live dot... In your favorites, there he is. Okay, I think I got it, you guys. Let's try this. Okay. Let's see what happens. Please answer, Chuck. My guest, if I can get him on, is Chuck Pelloca. If not, I'm going to try to get... I'm just going to yak for the rest of the show. I've got plenty to yak about, trust me. Let's see if he answers.
Hello?
Oh, Chuck, oh my God, we made the connection. I'm so happy.
It took me an hour to get it working.
Oh my God, I love you. Thank you for sticking through it. And my poor audience has been sitting here for the last 10 minutes going, well, is this ever going to work, you know? So it is, and I'm so happy, and thank you for coming on last minute. Scott apparently had another interview at the same, you know, within the second hour of my show, and didn't realize it until yesterday. He double booked, so, and he felt bad about it, but I'm happy you're here, so thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
So how are you doing besides all the crazy getting on Skype?
Fine. And you?
Very good. I'm doing good. I'm just relieved that, yes, I was able to get this all to come together here. I don't usually do two guests because it turns into such a problem. And I want to thank Nick for his help. He was so good during, you know, my struggles to get you on air.
Uh-huh.
And I just want to thank him for that. So, okay, all good. So now let's tell people who you are, and just give them a brief bio about your background. Then I want to discuss our Skywatches and your contact with E.T. as a kid and that kind of stuff, if you're okay with that.
Okay. I grew up in an hour out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Had a lot of UFO activity around our house at night. It went on for many years. Turned into some of us waking up during abduction, seeing faces in the windows, second story window. And
I got to interrupt you for 1 second. Did you ever see the Stan Romanek movie where the ET was popping his head up in the window in the living room?
I did.
What did you think of that footage? Do you think it was real?
Well, unfortunately, it's become so easy to fake stuff nowadays that unless I, you know the people, I mean, just looking at my own bizarre life with all the stuff that's going on with me, I'm more lean toward giving the people the opportunity and hearing them out. It's just that there's been so much fakery.
Yes,
over the years,
I agree.
That it's very difficult without a lot of research to accept things. So,
Yeah. Well, I was wondering because most of the people I know that are contactees that deal with that type of entity have all said to me it's absolutely real as far as they're concerned, because it's very, I don't know if about you, but it's very hard to make something look that real and blink its eyes and, you know, move in the way it moved as a puppeteer. Okay.
Yes, it was,
very
it's
difficult
very interesting.
To do. It is. Yeah. And I think I'm giving it like a 75% yes, in my opinion. I haven't dealt with those type of ETs, but I did do a lot of scanning on the image itself. And I thought it was very interesting. And I know the people who made the movie. I'm a different Nick. Well, thank you, Nick, whoever you are, Nick. That was very sweet of you to help me out. He's cracking me up. But, yeah, it's very hard to fake something like that. So I'm giving you the 75%, you know. Huh. Now, continue with your story, but when we're done with your background, I want to talk about what your ETs actually look like, too. But we'll get into that. So go ahead.
Well, one thing I want to add to what you just said is – having my experiences with ghosts, and as I said at the last Skywatch, the spirit that came into the house and is still there, and how that behaved with us, it makes it very difficult to just set aside the whole ET thing. I mean, especially with what I experienced as a kid. So, I mean, it's there, and there's a reason they're not talking about it, and that's because there's something to it.
Absolutely, absolutely, and that's what we're going to talk about near the end of the show is what's going on with disclosure right now and just your opinion about it. But anyhow, so keep going. I keep interrupting you, so I want to get this going here. So,
Most of my stuff ended when I left Pennsylvania. I went in the military after high school. Well, I worked in a factory and was going to school nights, and then went in the military and went to Germany for 3 years.
And so, what branch of military were you in, and what were you doing? And
Air Force. I was a heavy equipment operator, and I was at Ramstein Air Base. That's where the plane crash happened in 1988. The three Italian jets crashed.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
And that was one of my visions that I had about 4 months before the crash. So I told 24 people the day before that was going to happen. So that's where I was.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's where I was for 3 years. Then I went to Indiana for a year and got out. But chatting with my sister, when they saw that I was doing interviews and they were on the internet and some of them pulled up some of my interviews, my one sister said that I better never ask her to speak on any of it, because the way people behave and treat you over saying these things, I will never say anything that we experienced as children.
Oh my God! You never told me this. This is new info. intel.
Yep.
So sister, is this the one that had the major contact, or is this the other ones that were kind of like on the periphery of it?
No, the other sister that had the major contact was the second. There were three sisters in a row, and she was the oldest. She's the one that I figured out my visions when she crashed her bicycle.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Let's tell people that story, what happened, because it was interesting for me.
As a child, I noticed that I was having visions of events that would happen within months after the vision. And where I actually figured out what was going on is when my sister and I were riding our bicycles on the road, and my sister crashed, and I had noticed that I was getting sick in my stomach. And before my sister crashed, my hands and feet felt like they were going to sleep. And we started down the hill. I looked at my sister, and she was wearing the clothes that she was wearing in my vision. So I knew that it was going to happen that day. And we started down this hill, and she slid in the cinders. They put cinders on the road in Pennsylvania when they, instead of using salt on the snow and ice, they use cinders. So she slipped in them and crashed. And that's where I figured out exactly what was going on with me and how I would know the event that was coming up and be able to deal with it. And I actually spoke with my sister when I was back east. I went back for my dad's 80th birthday party about 7 weeks ago. And I asked her about that. And I said, do you remember what I said? And she couldn't remember. And then I said what I said. And she said, oh, yeah, that is what you said. And so I started talking to her about that I'd been having these visions all along. And that's what I was trying to tell her then. But I just didn't have the right words for it. I told her I had seen the whole thing happen before. So, are you still there? Lorian?
Yeah, sorry about that. I had to mute for a second. you ended right as I was screaming. So anyhow, I'm trying to get my roommate to open the front door because it's getting really hot in here, you know. But anyhow, so is this one of the first times you had one of your precog experiences, or were there more before that?
There were more before that, but I didn't quite understand what was going on. And I had told you that as a child, when I was 2 years old, was my first out-of-body experience that was
Tell the audience about that, because it's so cute. I love this story.
As a little kid, I loved – my dad was building a house about an hour away from Pittsburgh. And so on Friday or Saturday evening, we would cruise out to see how the house was going. And I really enjoyed the muscle cars. They would all do cruises on McKnight Road. There was a mall there, and they would park in the parking lot. So I really enjoyed the sound of the cars and the shifting gears and the squealing tires. So I was so tired, I couldn't stay awake any longer. But I really wanted to watch the cars. So I kept telling myself as I was falling asleep in the back seat that I really want to watch the cars. I really want to watch the, I want to see the cars. And the next thing I know, I was floating around in the car. I looked down at my body. I was sound asleep. My head was drooped down, and I was floating around in the car, just watching the cars as my dad cruised up McKnight Road toward the house.
That is so cool. So yeah. You were asleep, but you still got to experience looking at the cars. I love it. That is so awesome.
Well, that's
and I bet you remember them in total detail because it was an out-of-body experience, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah. Because I'll never forget the lady coming through my wall. I still don't know if I was out of body or what the hell was going on that one, but I'll never forget it. I mean, it happened 45 years ago, and I remember it vividly like it was just yesterday, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's funny because when we got to the house and my dad woke me up and took me out of the car, cause I eventually, I guess, got back in my body and I was telling him that I was watching the cars, and he's there, He said, no, you were asleep. And I said, no, I was watching the cars. And I was telling him different cars I saw. And he's just looking at me like, you know, I saw that red one. And he realized, you know, and he just didn't know what to think of it.
Now, did he ever admit to you, and he's alive, right? Your dad's still alive?
Yes.
Yeah. Has he ever admitted to you to having any kind of strange experiences in his life?
Not other than seeing the UFOs. I think I told you about when he was a police officer and went to take a report.
That's right.
The guy worked 4 to 12, and he went over to his house after he got off work, which was about 1 in the morning. And then on his way back, he saw he thought it was a shooting star. And he was on Wildwood Road, which is a road in Pennsylvania, and there are some lakes off to the side. And he watched it come down, and it hovered about, he thought, 20 feet off the water. And
right.
He saw what appeared to be a light shining on the water, and it looked, or yeah, onto the top of the water, and it looked like water. It looked like water was going up a tube, that light.
That's right. This is
into the
yes,
UFO.
Because you're one of the, I kept forgetting who that was that told me that story. You know, I probably heard like, you know, at least 500 to 1,000 stories from all the people I've interviewed over the years.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember there's like 4 or 5 of them where there's water being sucked up into the ship. And I couldn't remember who the last one was, and it's you. Now I remember it was your dad.
Yeah, and my dad told me about that. He had come home with groceries one day, and I walked outside to help him carry groceries in. And when something was calling me to look toward the sky, and I'm looking up, and I don't see anything. And my dad goes, "What are you doing?" And I looked at my dad, and I said, "They're watching us." And my dad goes, "What do you mean they're watching us?" And I said, "I don't know who they are, but they're watching us." And
oh, wow.
He was just surprised that that's what I was saying. And that's when he told me about the sighting on Wildwood Road. But when we were younger, we would wake up at night because the ships, when they came, I think I told you the Pennsylvania Turnpike ran behind our house. And
Yes. Well, tell the audience about the sightings you had as a kid.
So the car headlights were yellow back then. So if the Pennsylvania Turnpike was about 100 to 150 yards behind our house. So as cars moved toward what would be the left of the back of the house, the headlights would go across the wall behind our bed, moving to the right, because as the car went by, you know, we'd see it on the left side wall because it was coming from our right, and then it would go across. And we got used to, you know, we'd kind of watch the headlights a little bit when we went to sleep instead of counting sheep or whatever.
Yeah, count headlights, yeah.
But we all of a sudden realized that we were seeing these really bright white lights, and they had just a slight blue color to them too.
Uh-huh.
And when then they didn't move. They were stationary. So we looked out the window, and then we saw these UFOs. Our next door neighbor had 3 trees that had to be 70, 80 feet tall. And they would hover over those trees. And it was usually 1 or 2 at a time. And so we started waking each other up at night. So if we'd see them, because us 3 boys slept in 1 bedroom when we were young, we would go wake the other kids up and have them come watch them. Well, then finally we woke our parents up by accident. And, you know, our parents were seeing them, and apparently they had already seen them before, but obviously they weren't going to say anything to children because it would scare us.
Right, right. And see, you know, your story is very typical of many of my contactee friends. Their parents were also maybe contactees that just didn't remember anything at all because they were so good at blocking it out, you know. Mm-hmm. And was it your family that also your grandparents had seen UFOs?
No.
Okay. Okay.
No, but my grandmother had, well, my mom's grandmother had talked to her. My mom started having visions when she was a kid, and she told her mother, and her mother didn't discuss it with her. And then one time her grandma came to visit, and she told her grandma, and she said, yes, I have them too.
Wow. So your mom's grandmother, your great-grandmother had visions, your grandmother
yes.
did on your mother's side, and your mother does as well, and you.
Well, I don't know about my grandmother because she refused to speak with my mother about it. But my mom thinks that she was just either fearful that people would think of her if she talked about something like that, or, you know.
Or it could have skipped a generation. You know, I wonder, in some cases, I have heard of it skipping generations. You know, and I don't know why, but sometimes it does, and that's just the way it is. But just fascinating. So, okay, so we what you're saying is you have a bunch of psychics in your family, just like my family.
Well,
I mean, because that's what precognition is. It's basically a psychic ability.
Right, right. Okay. And I actually, my mom bought some ESP books and stuff like that, which I was reading and... I mean, one of the things that it tells you to practice was if you have a candle burning in front of you, to quiet your mind and stare into the candle. That helps
right.
open up pathways or something. So I used to do
yes.
that as a kid.
That's cool. I used to do that too.
But we also, oh, wow. We also yeah. grew up without fluoridated water and chemicals in our water. We grew up in the Appalachian mountain chain on well water.
Yes. Yeah. Now, I think our water was pretty pure back in the day in Portland, Oregon. I can't imagine it being fluoridated. Didn't they start fluoridating in the 70s? Do you remember when it all
yeah,
started?
Yeah, somewhere in there.
Different
times in different places.
Yeah, I think Portland, Oregon was probably the last place to get anything because, you know, we weren't Portland wasn't a huge city at the time. But so you guys are pretty much coming from a family of precogs and people like that. And plus you're having major UFO sightings. How often were the UFOs parked outside your house?
Wow, that I have no idea, because we were young. I would have to say when we were actually watching them, there were five of us. So I had to be around 7, 8, maybe 9 years old.
Okay. And this is when most of this was carrying on, is during your 7 to 10, maybe. There were like maybe 3 years it was really prevalent, or
well,
do you think it was going on all the time from the time you were born or before you were born? And what's your opinion about that?
Okay, my first sighting was seeing the face in the window. And
oh,
my
yeah,
mom said,
tell that story.
Okay. So my brother and I had decided we were going to play a game, and we kept the games in our closet in our bedroom, and we both took off to run for the bedroom. And this was in the winter in Pennsylvania, so obviously it's dark by 5 o'clock. So I was closer to the bedroom, and I beat my brother to the light switch, and I was so short that I had to jump up and hit the light switch with my fingertips to flip it on, and then I would land. Well, when I would land, my face would automatically be pointed at the back wall of the bedroom beyond the light switch. And
okay.
the bedroom door was on the right, so I'd be slightly looking to the left. The switch was on the left side of the entry. And that night, when I flipped the light switch on, I saw a face in the window. So I was scared. I looked at my brother. I was like, oh my God. And I turned around to run out of the room, and he saw that I was scared. So he took off running too. And I told my mom that I saw a face in the window. And so my mother took me to the back door and explained to me that it was the second story window, that I couldn't have possibly seen someone looking in the window because there's not a ladder there and someone can't reach up there and look in. And I would look up at my mom. No, Mom, somebody was looking at me in the window. And we went back and forth a couple times. But that was my first experience that I recall. So I don't know if it started before then, but that's, and I had asked my mom when I really got into the UFO thing and started reading all the books when I was 12 and 13. And I had brought that up with her, that why didn't you admit to me that somebody was looking in the wall? And remember, we used to see these things out there. And she's there. How would I let a child know that something like that was going on? And I had no control over it. You would be scared to death every night that you went to bed.
Oh, my God. She's so right. You know, oh, God, what a thing. You know, I mean, it's so bizarre to me that I don't know. I just, the whole thing's crazy. And but, the interesting part about it all, and I've said this since the day I realized that I was a contactee, is they've never hurt me. They've never eaten me. They've never, taken me anywhere and beat me up. I've never had a problem with them. So why, you know, there's no reason to be afraid. And I've never been afraid of them, ever, in my entire existence with them. And it's been going on a long time for me. I mean, since childhood, too, but in a different way than you. Mine was, a precog kind of... I could tell the future. If anybody would do a tarot card reading with me, I'd be able to sit there and tell them exactly what was going to happen. You know, not in perfect detail. I wasn't right all the time. But as you know, Chuck, what happens is the future can change. And so there's always different paths that can happen. And you can make it change if you realize something really bad's going to happen. So that's why people came to me. I mean, I was 13 years old and I was reading tarot cards for adults. I mean, literally. And because I could tell them this is what's going to happen. And even as a 13-year-old, I would say to them, now you can change this if you want. You know, I knew that. Mm-hmm. And it's quite interesting. So, you know, I totally believe in precognition. I believe that is a gift from ET or God or however you want to call it. Because if you are, and I've said this to you in a million times on my radio show, if ET connects with you and you're having a relationship with them on some level, any level, they have tweaked you in some way to have the ability to connect with them, to see them, to talk to them, to telepathically communicate with them. So you are not a regular human anymore after they've done that to you. You have become psychic. You have become, not just psychic, but the many other things that you can do. You can do remote viewing easily. There's there's just so many advantages to having them tweak your DNA or your molecular structure or your pineal gland or whatever it is that they're doing to us. It has its advantages. It also has a lot of disadvantages, as you know, because people start thinking you're crazy, and there's a lot of things that go with that if you talk about what you're capable of doing. I just was lucky enough to be born into a family that had, I had two grandmothers that were already psychic, and it was just accepted. So, yeah, kind of like your family. Sounds like they were accepting of it. They didn't poo-poo it. They didn't call you crazy and send you off to a mental hospital, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well,
so that's
my
good.
My wife on the, remember me telling you about the vision of me getting killed on my motorcycle?
Oh, my God, yeah. Tell the audience about that, because that's just, yeah, I try not to think about that one, but go ahead.
I had the vision on November 23rd of 2007.
Right.
And I told my wife I got killed. A powder blue BMW 750 hit me from behind, and I hit the windshield and the roof and flew up in the air. And my motorcycle was so destroyed, I couldn't even tell what kind of motorcycle it was. And it was a yellow motorcycle. And she said, oh, well, it's not going to happen because you don't own a yellow motorcycle and you're not buying another one. She said, you have a blue one, and that's what you're going to be riding. But come December, I bought the yellow motorcycle.
Oh my God. Now let me ask you, I've always wondered this and I never said it to you, but I'm going to say it tonight. Why in the hell would you buy it knowing you'd already had a vision you're going to die on it?
The dealer had four of them. A blue, a black. I already have blue. Black I don't like because it shows dirt too quick. And I just had to have the yellow. I love that bike. I had seen them on the one site that I go on, and a couple of the guys had them, and I've always loved that color. And of course, that was the obvious choice. I was taking it, and I never thought about my vision when I bought the bike.
That's the other question I had for you about that is, you know, what happens to many of us is we'll have visions, we'll tell other people about them, blah, blah, blah. And then there's this like mind control process that happens that makes us fulfill the prophecy without us realizing that it can be detrimental to us.
Right.
It's so crazy. Now, what did your wife say when you brought home the yellow motorcycle?
I bought it on a Friday and I waxed it on Saturday. I washed it and waxed it on Saturday. And I laid down on the front lawn and meditated after I washed the bike. And when I had it on our walkway right in front of our front door of our house.
Okay.
So when I meditated on the lawn and I sat up, I looked at the bike and I said, oh my God, that's the bike from my vision. And my wife goes, what are you talking about? And I said, remember back in...
She'd forgotten too, conveniently. Okay, go ahead.
I said, remember on November 23rd when I told you about my vision and me getting killed on my motorcycle? And she goes, oh yeah, I remember that. And I said, okay, that's the bike.
Well, great. So now you're sitting there looking at each other knowing you're going to die on the bike. What did you do then?
Well, not a whole lot because that was December. And the crash happened on March 22nd, 2008.
Okay. Now, you obviously didn't die. So how did you get hurt in that accident?
When I walked away from, I knew the plane crash. I knew that one of the planes was going to land where I was standing and I was going to get killed.
Whoa. Wait a minute. Now, let's go. This is back to Germany.
Yes.
Okay, let's go back to Germany. So those three planes were crashing and you knew you were going to die in that crash, but you changed it by moving out of the field of getting killed. Correct. Okay.
Right. I told 24 guys the day before that the crash was going to happen the next day and over 100 people were going to get killed to get your mind ready for this because this is what we're going to be dealing with tomorrow.
And did a lot of them move out of the way so they wouldn't get killed as well?
No. I met the airfield commander on taxiway 10 because I was going to cook hamburgers for him.
Okay.
And I was standing with my right elbow up against the nose of the medevac helicopter because he was standing there chatting with the pilot and the co-pilot. And my other friend, who's the one that figured out who brought me into the circle with him and the colonel, who were friends, we're chatting with the pilot. So I started getting sick in my stomach. And then I realized that one of the planes was going to land where I was standing. And I told everybody we had to walk away. And I got a lot of funny looks. The second time I said it, the pilot's wife, who I didn't know at the time was his wife and daughter, she put her arm around her daughter and took her away from me because she saw I was getting excited and she didn't think it was, you know, a good situation for her daughter to be close to me, I guess. And I said it again, and the colonel looked me in the face, and he said, Sergeant, what's going on? And I said, sir, just listen to what I'm saying. We all need to walk away from here right now. Are you with me or not? And I walked away. At that point, about 3 minutes had gone by, and my sickness in my stomach goes for 5 to 6 minutes before the hands and feet start going to sleep. So
okay.
I knew we had at least a couple more minutes. I wasn't timing it, but I had a general idea of how much time had passed.
Right.
So I walked away. And when I walked away, I got 40 to 50 feet away. And it was like somebody flipped the switch and the sickness in my stomach went away. Well, at that point, that is the point where the plane made impact with the ground and then rolled over onto the medevac helicopter. So when I looked back, when I got to that point and the sickness stopped, I looked back at the helicopter to see if they were following me, and they were. So they followed me over to the picnic table where I had started up the barbecue grill, and I threw the burgers on. And about 2 to 3 minutes later is when the plane crashed. And it, like I said, it rolled over on the medevac helicopter. So those people that were there either got killed or burned on most of their body.
Okay. So, but the people you were talking to and the wife and the child were all okay, right?
No.
They didn't follow because you away from there?
When we walked away, everybody else stayed there, and she went back over to her husband.
What about the daughter?
Yeah. They all went, yeah.
Oh, no. She went so they were all over, killed?
Well, I don't know, because I didn't get a names list of everybody that was burned. And the list was over 300 people.
Right.
And I think like 135 got killed, or 135, because some of them died from their injuries afterwards.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So the point I was making is that I learned, but I had an incident before where I managed to avoid an accident, and I learned that if the feelings go away, I'm safe. So on the day of the motorcycle crash, when I pulled my bike out front to let it warm up and got my gear on and then got on my bike to leave, when I got on my bike to leave, my hands and feet were going to sleep already.
Oh, wow. So that meant it was very close to the house.
I was 30 to 60 seconds away from the event.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead. What happened next?
So I paused on my bike, and I thought back to the plane crash, and I paused, and like somebody flipped the switch, the feelings went away. So I already had the bike in gear, was holding the clutch in, and had my feet on the ground, and I instantly pulled out. I went to the stop sign, made a left turn, came down to the next stop sign, and the 750 BMW came sliding through the intersection in front of me. So I followed him and marked his speed in three places and watched him run into the traffic sitting still at the stoplight at over 90 miles an hour.
Oh, my God. So you were following him instead of being hit by him at this point.
Correct.
Ah, okay. Did you report him to the police?
Oh, yeah. I was the key witness on the stand for the whole case.
Oh, so he got in another accident.
Oh, yeah, he ran into the traffic. It's just that I wasn't there, and he killed the first guy, the first car that he hit, which was a...
Oh, my God, I forgot that part of the story.
Yeah,
that's
it
right.
Was a Mazda.
Oh,
Miata,
yeah.
And he launched it. It hit the car in front of it. He hit the car so hard that the frame rails hit the ground and dug two trenches in the fresh asphalt.
Oh, my God.
And then it went over the car in front of it. It kind of launched off the car in front of it, and it flew about 80 feet and landed upside down on the cross street.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I've seen horrific accidents like that. As a matter of fact, I had a voice in my head telling me to get in a different lane so I wouldn't be killed by a car flying over the median that was turning upside down like that. I've had a lot of these experiences too. Mine are just different. I get voices in my head actually telling me to slow down, turn, you know, do whatever. It's like crazy. Crazy town. I've had it happen 3 times. Yeah. It's nuts. But you get a feeling now. Explain this feeling to me. Do you just feel like you're kind of like your skin's on fire, or that your body's going to sleep, like when you know, when your legs and arms go to sleep, like kind of feeling?
It's my hands and my feet only.
Okay.
And have you ever crossed your legs and have your foot fall asleep?
Oh, yeah. So that's what it feels like.
That's exactly what I get.
Wow. And it's both hands and both feet at the same time,
right? At the same time. Yep.
Wow. That's crazy. See, I have this thing where I'm half awake, and I'm usually in that theta, I think they call it theta, I can't remember, or delta or whatever, stage of sleep. And I'm either waking up, it's usually when I'm waking up, and the upper part of my body is kind of like asleep, like what you're talking about, but it feels more like my bones are vibrating at such a high rate, like a hummingbird, that it's making my upper body kind of hum, like with this vibration.
Oh, wow. like
so I get something. Yeah, I get something like you get too, but it's different and just fascinating because everybody I talk to has a different thing go on physically, and none of ours are quite exactly the same, you know.
Yep.
Whenever these things happen for us, but it's very intriguing that we all seem to have a physical reaction, you know. Yep. Why is it just not, you know, a voice in your head only, or you know, something like that, you know? Why physical? Maybe, yeah. You know, I just thought of this. Maybe it's because we can't ignore the physical.
Right.
Maybe that's why it happens that way. Because how are you going to ignore your stomach getting turned into knots or your hands and feet falling asleep and you can't walk, right? I mean, it's like, oh my God, what an interesting thought. Anyhow, okay, so go on. We got time. We got about 10 minutes left in the show or less, and I really want to get to a couple more of your what's happened, especially the UFO over the highway. And yeah, so go ahead. Which one do you want to tell us about next?
You said you wanted to talk about the fact that they're letting some things out now.
Oh, yeah, the disclosure stuff. Yeah, that'd be great. So go ahead.
It's kind of funny because when I was working up in Truckee, Tahoe, my boss sent me the video of the pilot that was chasing the UFO.
Dave Favor.
Yes. And he said it to me, and he said, "What do you think of this?" And I said, "Well, I find it very interesting that they're letting that out now." And I sent him the original video from 12 years prior.
Oh, exactly. Right. Okay.
And I said, "You know what? They didn't let it out then, but now all of a sudden, doesn't that show you that they have an agenda?"
Yes, absolutely. Oh, that's wild. So you have the copy of the original? I've been trying to find it forever. Do you mind sharing it with me?
Yep. Oh, I went and found it.
Oh, because good. I couldn't find it.
Yeah, I wanted the date stamp. I wanted to send it to him so he could see when the guy posted it.
Exactly. That's what I was looking for, too. So I hope you can share that with me at some point when I need it for a presentation I'm building. I would love to have it. Yeah,
I can go back through my – that's how I found it, on my YouTube history.
Oh, great. Okay, great. Yep. Okay, so anyhow, your boss is sending you this video, and then you say to him, like me, I'm always like, oh, yeah, right, yeah, now it's been 40 years, and now they're finally talking about it, you know, kind of thing. So what's your opinion about all that's going on?
Because that's the final threat.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean,
they're building this. Yeah, in my opinion, they're building this up so that they can throw a false flag out there to, you know, if all else fails, they can't start a war. They can't blow us up. They can't starve us to death, you know, whatever. Right. They can't, you know, take the next election. They can't, you know, whatever it is they're thinking about doing. This will be their final game, the final move in their game.
Right. And they'll be able to. To siphon, you know, trillions of dollars to get their new world system. It's the final nail.
Exactly. They're going to get everybody like cowering in their house because the aliens are coming, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. Yep. They're just, and then all of us who know that it's all BS will just be out there going, why is everybody in their house?
Yep. Yep.
it really won't matter for any reason at all. So, you know, I'm just like, this is nuts. But what do you think about the whole Senate disclosure thing and all that? What's your take on all this? And Lou Elizondo and all these people?
I mean, I haven't followed much of it. I mean, I haven't had the time to spend my energy, you know, on that. The thing is, as I said earlier, you know, like it says in the Bible, the deception in the end of days, the deception will be at such a level when the average person comes face to face with the truth, they will not be able to accept it. And those are the days we're living in right now.
Absolutely. See, that's the problem. You didn't get a chance to listen to Scott, but I hope you go back and listen to the show. the first hour of the show, because I think you and Scott would just adore each other. As a matter of fact, we might be meeting up soon, and you're in the Bay Area. I really would like you to come and meet him, because Scott was working with he was trying to help President Trump. He's actually met with General Flynn and all these people. He's a whistleblower. Anyhow, long story short, I think you guys would adore each other, and I want you to meet him at some point coming up.
Yeah,
but I'd like you
to
go back. Yeah, go back and listen. I think you'll really be fascinated. And so bottom line, I think we're absolutely living in the end times out of the Revelations book of the Bible. And I think it's fascinating that they think whoever's pulling this off, the evil cabal, the Satanists, who do you think's pulling this off? Do you think they're really Satanists and Luciferians, or do you think it's just horrible, woke human beings?
Yes. That's what it is.
It's both? All
well,
three?
Someone owns this planet, and it's not us.
Yeah.
And it's... I got one of my friends started on research all the way back after Sandy Hook. And I told him the whole thing was faked, that the school had been closed since 2008. And I sent him some stuff and I got him started researching. And his wife quit talking to me because he spent so much time researching. Well, I didn't see him for many years because I did so much out of town work. And he was washing his truck. So I stopped at the house and said, hey, can I help you finish washing the truck and shoot the bull a little while? So I asked him where his research had taken him. And he said, we're living on the ashes of the ashes of the ashes. And I said, so you agree that they keep killing us off and then starting us up again and telling us the same lies over and over again because it works? And he said, yes.
Absolutely. You know, this isn't the first time we've gotten to this stage, and it won't be the last. They keep doing this. But what I find fascinating about how they're doing it this time is they're actually sterilizing us with this COVID-19 shot. And I wonder if this is the first time they've done something like this. This might be a new experiment, actually, is to not kill us all, you know, at once. Maybe just keep the ones they want alive and start over with them. Maybe they've realized that by starting over, that rebellious gene keeps popping up, and if they can get rid of all the rebellious gene types and only keep the evil ones going and procreating, then possibly they don't have to do this. They'd have to keep doing this again.
Right. I watched the show last night, and the guy was talking about 5G and how damaging it is, and it's actually destroying our DNA.
Yep.
But one thing you have to think about, I mean, if you look at the swine flu, if you weaken something for a very long time, like a virus normally doesn't cross over and join up with another virus to live. But when they made the swine flu, and I read a lot of stuff on that, they weakened the virus for so long and kept it in a weakened state that the virus saw its only chance for survival to adapt and move over and become one with another virus. You can do the same with people. You can do the very same thing with people. We've been under attack. As far as I'm concerned, there are very few vaccines that are actually good for us or helpful to us.
I agree. That
you, when you look at what's in them and the fact that they've increased them over the years to now a kid's what, 72 or 92 shots now they're talking
something
about?
Something like that. Yeah, I mean, it's just flabbergasting. I mean, I can't even believe it. It's crazy. You know, Chuck, I hate to do this, but the show's almost over. We got like 30 seconds left. If somebody wanted to follow you, do you have a Facebook page or anything?
Well, I do have Facebook, but I actually have it blocked because I recently changed jobs and now they go into all your social.
Oh, God, they do. They do. They check everything about you.
Yeah.
It's just horrific. Yeah, it's crazy. Oh, my God. Well,
so
I want to thank you.
I don't have anything out there where people can get a hold of me. The only way would be like through the show or.
Well, that's okay. You know what we'll do? We'll have you speak at UFO Con about all your UFO contact next year. That would be fantastic. So that'll be great.
Okay.
Yeah. There we are. Okay, the music started. Thank you for filling in for Scott. I really appreciate it, Chuck. It was great. Well, I'll have you on for a full show here coming up in a little bit, okay?
Okay.
Stay on the call. Don't hang up. And everybody else, we'll see you next week.
Listening to Revolution.